You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, a lot of names that are very, very apt coming in after our question of the day, the sports, you know, sports media people and shows that impacted and helped cultivate your sports love. Sports reporters. Talking
big
about
time,
that.
Big time.
Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. Talk about Bob Costas. John Madden is one. I don't even know how I didn't mention that because, I mean, obviously what he's done for the analysis game, particularly of football, but all the way around was huge. And then locally, I did not mention John McClain, which is crazy because that's an absolute legend. And I think those are the main ones that I kind of missed.
Rich Lord,
you were talking about. Someone mentioned Kirk Herbstreit in the college, and I guess Lee Corso also would go in there when you talked about the institution that is College Game Day. So, yeah, man, a lot of those things. Always appreciate the ones that have paved the path, not just for, like, the institutions, but also for the individuals, like, for our particular, that have helped mold our love for this thing that we all come together for, right? Like, this is the reason why we all come
why
together.
We're here.
This love of sports, man. Yeah. It really is. All right. Let's now go around the NFL where Aiden Hutchinson, he's been cleared to return to football. Remember, he had a pretty gruesome injury last year, and he was working to try and make his way back. He is the leader in the clubhouse to be comeback player of the year in 2025, saying after, you know, he was fully cleared yesterday. He said that yesterday. Is there any chance that anyone else can take down Aiden Hutchinson as comeback player of the year? As a dude who, I mean, we talk about as defensive player of the year type guy.
Yeah.
Who coming off of an injury, and especially as that award has been kind of narrowed and, you know, streamlined to
no
that
more
kind
Flaccos.
Of space. Yeah, no more Flaccos necessarily. It feels like he's the guy, right?
I can't think of anyone that would be, you know, that was out last year or injured or whatever and would compete with Hutchinson, presuming he has a full season or relatively full season. I mean, it's got to be him, right? Who are some other candidates?
Well, technically, he does not have the best odds per FanDuel. He's a plus 300. The best odds, plus 270, Dak Prescott, because remember, he gets injured last season. And so that
I'd
is there as a quarterback. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, I am amazed that the odds actually go to the quarterback, but I guess because he's a quarterback, right? Yeah. He's still going to be in a place to have a really good season, and quarterbacks, when it comes to awards, have an unfair level of multiplier on their weight. Some other ones that are in here, another quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, which, he is at plus 430. How do you feel about this one? Plus 370 for Christian McCaffrey.
I think he would be in the hunt. I think he would be in the hunt.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one that I just saw, and it's a great point. Would, J.J. McCarthy count?
Ooh. Comeback is weird because, I mean,
he got hurt.
He did get hurt. The tough part about it is also, I think, with all of these awards, I think we all know that the undercurrent of it is, oh, wow, we didn't expect this.
Right.
You know,
he's never done it.
Yeah, we haven't set any level of expectation for him at this point. So I don't know. Maybe you could throw him in there, and maybe he's, if you want, you go for like a very dark horse, try and throw like $10 on what I imagine are going to be relatively pretty long odds to see if he comes in to a situation, to be fair, great receiving core. Kevin O'Connell is a very good offensive coordinator, or I guess play caller, I should say, as the head coach. There's a circumstance there where he got Sam Darnold to play well above, I think, what we had anticipated from him, even though there's been little signs that maybe he had more talent in there than we had really exposed. Like, that's not a bad shout to try and get a guy that maybe wins you a good amount of money
off of that. Put a flyer on J.J. McCarthy, although you can also hear the counterpoints. Well, that's a good team anyway, you know, or that's a great coach anyway. Sam Darnold had a good year with him. So I think J.J. McCarthy would fit. He was in the NFL and got hurt. But like you said, you just didn't know what the baseline was.
Yeah, some other longer odds, plus 3,000 if you're really feeling Anthony Richardson, plus 3,800 Daniel Jones. Interesting there. And then how about this? And this number, this name has come in a couple times on the text line, so maybe y'all get your tickets there as well. New England Patriots wide receiver, Stephon Diggs.
Mm. Yes.
Where they got Deshaun Watson at?
Oh, my God.
I don't see him on the board, big dog.
Oh, my God.
I don't see him on the board, big fella. Yeah. I just got to tell you that. Yeah. Do not
maybe
see him.
Maybe for 2026.
Don't see him on the board.
We'll get him for 2026.
Just hey, put Tank Dell for 2026.
Yeah, that's true.
You think so?
Maybe.
That's a crowded wide receiver room for a wide receiver. Like, I feel like in a wide receiver, you're going to have a situation where your wide receiver room isn't all that big, and we can funnel you a lot of targets. If Tank Dell returns, I mean, you brought in Higgins, who I imagine is going to have a certain level of
responsibility. That's stayed in the case if he hasn't.
And then Nico Collins still exists here to take all the oxygen in the room.
But if Tank Dell cracked, let's say Tank Dell cracked
1,300 yards. All of a sudden, doesn't matter. Yeah.
I was even going to say maybe close to 800, 900.
Yeah.
And maybe about 5-6 touchdowns.
What about Max Crosby?
I'm sorry, dog. He's... This is tough, though, because Max Crosby has always kind of been within the context of the Raiders are not actually all that good. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this Raiders team, and it's a tough division, don't get me wrong, because Denver has gotten good. Obviously, we know what the Kansas City Chiefs are. And, I mean, I'm not betting against Jim Harbaugh, even though I don't know how high the ceiling is on that. It's just they're not going to make it easy on you, any of those teams. Yeah. But this Raiders team does look like it's better. And so does a Max Crosby who comes in and plays as good as we know
Rock sacks.
On top of having a team that has a little bit more relevance, does that shift this? I don't know. That's a fair question to ask. I'm glad you guys mentioned kind of the yards that you might look at. I think I was looking at something earlier that was looking at the wide receivers, the rookies, right? What their numbers might be, kind of projecting. And how do you feel about this for Jaden Higgins as a potential projection on what he gets? 730 yards, 4 touchdowns.
I think that would be
you're running away. You're running and hiding with that because that is or do you feel like this is an underserving of what he can do?
You get out of him, you know, like that 700 plus yards. You take that. In
that's a win. Yeah, no, that's
that
a win.
Heartbeat.
Yeah,
because who was that person last year?
Yeah.
And I gotta find this one more time, so apologies. But I'm pretty sure that would have tracked to Roma Dunze. Roma Dunze had a pretty similar production, 730-something.
And then people were very high and very appreciative and over the top.
I was just saying on his squad last year, like, you would take somebody.
Oh,
there was
nobody, that's really a good point. I hadn't even thought of that.
There was nobody really that.
Nah, we throwing the parade if he get over 700.
Yeah.
With Nico getting over... 1,000.
Somebody, no, you're right. You take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, let me see if I get these receiving for this team. And if you're looking at yardage, you had 1,000 from Nico Collins, obviously, in 12 games. And then you had 667 yards from Tank Dell.
There you go.
In 14.
Yeah, you get 700.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nah, you good money if you get 700 from him.
That's right.
Especially with all the guys that you have, assuming health. But, I mean, also you'd be assuming that the offense is just so much better than it was last year. From the 2-1, did y'all say Aiden Hutchinson yet? Absolutely. He's the reason why we started this. I think he is the in-the-loop favorite to win that, even though Dak Prescott is technically the odds-on favorite per the odds that were provided by FanDuel. Some other things around the NFL. I mentioned this. We were talking yesterday about Jim Irsay obviously passed away at the age of 65, the fairly long-time owner of the Indianapolis Colts. And you mentioned a good point, right, when you were talking about the idea of the second generation money coming in on some teams sometimes can be a little dicey. You're thankful in Houston that, you know, that leveled out in a way that it feels like there's a connection to the city and there's a level of stability with the organization.
Yeah.
But that can create a level of instability, especially when there's a group of children that come in that, you know, try and figure out what it is. Well, Jim Irsay apparently had already kind of maybe thought about this, because I believe the last 14 years he's had his daughters involved with the organization. So we know that Carly Irsay Gordon is going to be the daughter that has the voting privilege. She's going to be the most front and center when it comes to now owning the Colts. But of his three daughters, Carly Irsay Gordon, Casey Foyt, and Kaylin Jackson, all of them have had some level of involvement, where Irsay Gordon was heavily involved in day-to-day operations. She has been involved in day-to-day operations of the team. She's already worked with marketing, football, all those types of things. She's on ownership committee. So this is not going to be a far cry from her stepping into that role. So maybe don't plot on the idea that they're just going to fall apart because they don't know how to operate this. Youngest daughter has become the face of the philanthropic portion of the organization. Mm-hmm. And Foyt, who is in the middle, has a degree in sports management. She's been working in special events as well, including the first regular season game in London. So, like, when it comes to whatever, I mean, hey, are the daughters going to be able to step into this place, particularly being women, right? Or is it just generally stepping in with three people? They've kind of already had situated roles for themselves.
Yeah.
And the hierarchy was there, and they kind of know the game. So at least when it comes to the Colts, I don't know that you can expect them to fall over.
That actually sound kind of fire a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
Because just imagine your owners is two or three of them, and one of them is good on the sports management side. One is good with, you know, this other side. It's like, damn, because usually you have an owner that kind of is just top dog and just kind of, you know, let everybody else do everything.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I also feel, and this was my point yesterday, you know, anytime anytime there's a shift in ownership, even from, you know, father to son or father to daughter in this case, you put your own stamp on things. And then that's what I'm curious about. You know, how involved, because, you know, the big thing with Jim Irsay was he was a football guy. He maybe not always fully appreciated, but he worked as a general manager for a while.
And I mean, before that, he felt like he did even more within the organization. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So maybe, what's the mark going to be? What's the stamp going to be? You know, and how are they going to do things differently? That's my point.
Yeah. So, I mean, there is different people handle things differently. So, yeah, we'll be interested to see if the Colts kind of change some of their organizational practices, or if it just kind of continues humming on in the way that it has, being second best in the division. All right, continuing around the NFL, somebody said particularly being women, Reggie, come on. No, like, I think that there's a level of, I don't know, questions that people would have. I don't say that they're right, but like, hey, are women going to step into this industry that's kind of dominated by men? Yeah. There's been plenty of women that have owned teams that have been very good at it, including here where, you know, obviously Miss Janice kind of handled some things as well. But, you know, I think typically, especially in, you know, men handing things down, used to handing it down to their sons necessarily.
You're right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think we never seen any, especially women that are kind of younger too. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like ongoing, because you got the owner in, I want to say in Detroit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's fine.
And don't forget also Chicago, right?
Chicago,
Hallis.
Yeah, so you had those type of situations, but not somebody that was like young and active.
Yeah, and sort of you know, brought up in the business and trained. Trained, as you pointed out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so I guess in a way, salute to Jim Irsay also for being prepared in that way. Other things around the NFL, Ashton Gentry will wear his number 2 that he wore at Boise State with the Las Vegas Raiders when he plays this year. That name was previously that number was previously occupied by Carlson and by Daniel Carson. And apparently Ashton Gentry.
Let me guess.
Okay. What are we guessing on?
How much?
I think a good flat 100.
Oh, how much he paid in order to get this number. By the way, in case you care, December 2nd is a big family number, so all his family wore 2s. Apparently, he said he paid a hefty price. We do not know exactly what it is.
We'll find out.
He wouldn't say exactly. He added to the total cost that was paid with the Mercedes GLE.
Ooh.
So that's 60. That's 60,000 right there.
Right, yeah. 160 then.
Oh, you're like the 100 flat plus 60,000.
Yeah. I couldn't remember if it was him or not, but somebody said, hey, I could have bought him a house with how much I paid. I couldn't remember if it was Gentry, though.
Yeah.
So with that being the case, then do you think it's good money for Ashton Gentry to put that money in to get the number 2?
You know what? This is one of those things. If it means that much to you, then yes. You know, if it makes you feel good, you think you look good, you're more confident, it's important to you, then yes. You know, because we've had situations here, you know, Dalton Schultz, remember? He was like, yeah, I wanted number nine. I made an offer, but it wasn't that, you know, it wasn't that big a deal. So for Genty, it was. Then yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I would like to know what was so special about December 2nd.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's a good question.
I'm kind of curious to know.
Yeah, I don't think he said specifically about it, but he said, you know, it's the day greatness was born, because obviously it's the day he was born. So maybe it's just straight that. But apparently it's a family number. So I don't know if there was other people in his family that also December 2nd or just twos in other facets. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at the very least, if it's your birthday, you can take it. That could be enough.
Oh, yeah. Somebody reminded us. We didn't mention Amy Adams Strunk.
Yeah, because I didn't want you to do
that woman.
Yeah, that was.
She's a great owner, right?
Great is the word you're using here, huh? Great is the word. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Best of luck to you.
That was Figgy.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Friday. Coming up next, the NBA playoffs has continued, and we're in the conference finals. Another interesting kind of conference finals game that happened yesterday. Does the NBA playoffs right now serve as a proof of concept for the Rockets trusting the process? Let's talk about that next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Friday to you. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Has this NBA playoff served as proof of concept for the Rockets' trust in the process? 713-572-4610. As a now everybody's just playing name a female team owner, which cool. I mean, I'm good with it. I am 100% good with that. Shout out to all them folks. Obviously, Gail Benson now with her husband Tom Benson passing, for sure. Somebody also reminded us, like, yeah, man, that fighting happens, man. When that when that the person who's at the top passes, and you just got a
money man.
Hey, we've seen a whole series Succession
money
about that,
and You say money. We've seen it happen with people that don't have money. You not in your family seen somebody pass and then 100%. That people fight over that house?
Oh, Susie took the TV.
Oh, I've told the story here. My brother.
It gets real nasty in these streets, man. It gets real nasty. Once we start talking about assets.
You don't want to know the details.
Now imagine if that asset is a multi-billion dollar football team.
What did Cheryl do with grandma's furniture?
Dude, there's 5-6 billion out there.
Yeah,
people gonna fight.
I told my sister, once mom and dad pass away, we gotta chill out. We ain't doing all that fighting over this and that.
That's why y'all gotta have those conversations. You gotta get like Jim. Like, all right, you gonna handle this. You gonna handle over here. You gonna handle over here. Y'all gonna play nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Who gonna take this going over to her? Yeah. I'm gonna take. We gonna have that conversation before. Ain't got time to be bickering over some junk.
That's right. Y'all play nice. A person who is playing very nice. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander last night. He gets named MVP, and then he goes out and drops 38 of them things.
I was glad to see that.
SGA is one of those dudes that, again, not a lot of people love because of the play style, because he's got great body control, but he uses it in a dark arts kind of way. And so, you have that, right? And he is one of those guys that developed out of a place that I don't know that people viewed him as instantly he's going to be a superstar. I mean,
he didn't look at himself that way.
There's conversations.
He said it in the postgame,
I think I was looking at a Sam Presti kind of quote. Obviously, Sam Presti is the executive that runs the Oklahoma City Thunder. I saw a quote from maybe 2017, 2018, something like that. When they moved on from Russell Westbrook, And he just looked in the gym and it was just Shea in there getting shots up. And he was like, man, this kid probably is going to be something. Mm-hmm. And here he is, something, right? But he was started with the Clippers and they were willing to trade him in order to get Paul George. And lo and behold, I imagine they wish that they had that one back. You look at Tyrese Halliburton. In fact, I think Ron started the show on The Drive yesterday kind of asking the question, is he the next Steph Curry in that? Mm-hmm. Not that he'll be Steph Curry in play style, but that a superstar that comes out of nowhere. And then you look at Jalen Brunson, second round pick, a dude that was small out of Villanova, even though like he had that, you know, the experience in Villanova winning championships, people looked at him like, all right, what is he going to be? Maybe a backup point guard, maybe a nice starting point guard. And apparently he's carrying a team to the Eastern Conference Finals. And all of this is to say, the superstars that are looking at this outside of Anthony Edwards out of Georgia, where very early on it felt like that's the dude.
Mm-hmm.
All these dudes are kind of guys that have come out of nowhere. Does that serve as some level of validation to the Rockets in if they indeed stick with the idea that we're just going to let this thing grow and see if we get a superstar that grows out of nowhere?
Man, I love this question. I really do, because to hear Raphael Stone talk about it, the answer is yes. I don't know if that's what the rest of us feel. And the difference to me, look, I know they've been in the league longer. They've been able to develop these skills, but you always could sense that they had that in them. You know, I know Halliburton, most overrated and all that, but he had that in him, you know, in terms of just what you could see from him. And obviously, you know, SGA as well. I think the question here is, does Jalen Green have it in him? And I don't know how many people.
Oh, you assume that it's just Jalen Green is the answer here?
Well, I think that's the presumed answer, right?
I think there's people. Actually, no. At this point, I think that there's people that might still point to the idea that Jalen Green can become better, and maybe that's the organization still looking mm-hmm. at as well. I think the answers, if I'm ranking them, for guys that you go, maybe this guy can become that. Mm-hmm. Amen Thompson, because Amen Thompson has the defensive profile. He has the athleticism. The only thing that you're really looking for is, can that handle come along better to the place where also can he add a shot to it?
The scoring other than finishing.
Right. And if those things, and when I say handle, because he's already, like, he came in where people were wondering, can he be mm-hmm. a point guard? So, like, the handle at that level, right? The handle of I have high usage rate because I'm going to be the distributor, I'm going to be the initiator, and then also the shot. That's the first one, I think. And then Alperen Şengün is a place where he's reaching a certain place, mm-hmm. but does he then have another level? Does he have, because, I mean, you could ask the question, like Tyrese Halliburton was in that place at one point where people referred to him as good, as a star kind of player. Mm-hmm. But this is a different level that we're seeing from him in the clutch. Jalen Brunson even reached a certain level as, oh, man, he's a really good guard in this league. And then he took it up to another level when he got to New York and was like, oh, okay, this is different than we had anticipated. And I think the answer in a non-committal way is maybe a validation, because, yes, you can look at those guys and see the ways in which they have stepped up and become even better. The thing that I have here, though, is look at those particular situations and see how they came to be.
Mm-hmm.
When you look, let's start with the Pacers, right? Because I think that's been a very fun team to talk about. Tyrese Halliburton has become this. Where was Tyrese Halliburton drafted?
Where was
like
that?
18th?
Yeah,
something?
Where was he?
Somewhere.
Not where, but like literally what to what team?
Oh, Sacramento.
The Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
How did they? What did they do to acquire him? Who did they send in the acquisition of him?
Sabonis.
Domantas Sabonis mm-hmm. was supposed to be their star.
Yeah.
Like, that was supposed to be the guy that they were driving up to. And they looked up and they were like, this guy is good, and he will reach level. He has been very good, Domantas Sabonis. Domantas Sabonis has been an all-star
in
this
game. Yeah, he's been solid.
They traded him away for Tyrese Halliburton, and you could see there's no one looking back at that trade.
Yeah.
Like, does that not feel akin to kind of some of the things that we're talking about here with some of these young guys? All right, I'll take you. Let's go to New York. They went and acquired Jalen Brunson. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, that's not going to be exactly the same, but I think that you get what I'm saying. Like, they saw a guy who, yes, we believe that there's a level of jump in him, but they went and they had to acquire him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that when I look at those, I go, yes, you might still have an opportunity to have a jump in it, but then the question then becomes, do you have the right guy for that jump? Because there's times where you have a guy that you're invested in that you go, maybe this guy can jump, but maybe you look up and you go, but that guy over there probably has a better shot at doing this with what we have.
And who would that be on this squad is the question. You know, who has that ability where you can look at him and say, I could see that jump? You mentioned, you know, Amen Thompson. There's some real questions about, you know, what he can be offensive.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the one for me, because I do like the idea of him potentially becoming an even better distributor, right?
Can he be that?
Do
GMs look at him and say, oh yeah, that's going to be an offensive player?
He's so good, man. He's such a good basketball player. Yeah. I think the shot is the thing that scares me. And I've mentioned this stat before. Mm-hmm. This dude shot 25% from three, which is not like, okay, it just needs to get better. That's putrid in the modern NBA. Yeah. Like, that is bad. And that's not even on volume, right? Because that's a tough thing also. Even if you get your shooting percentages up, you need to be able to do it at a high volume for what we're talking about here. We need you to be able to shoot, put up five, maybe six three-pointers a game and do it at that high volume. And that's a far place to jump. Yeah. And you also, I mean, maybe you go, all right, well, he has it in him. He just needs to refine it. The question that I typically come, or the place that I typically look to there, is free throw shooting, because that is that is as much of a vacuum as you can get, isolating the variable of just your shooting mechanics. And even that, he's in the 60s when it comes to percentage of free throw shooting. It's just under 70, to be fair.
That's my point. But can he ever become an offensive player?
That's the thing that worries me. From the 713, a question that I've kind of had, and I don't know how fair it is to him, but is Şengün less baby Jokic and more baby Sabonis?
That was the next point I was going to make. Yeah. Let's go to Şengün now. And I was really impressed. I don't care what anybody says. I was impressed with his postseason. I mean,
100%.
Some people question about some of the shots he missed.
Can I ask you what impressed you most about his performance?
I think his willingness. I think his willingness to be that guy and take over as much as he could. And he did. You know, he absolutely did. And that's a gene. You know, that's something that you're coached to do certain things, but it's also a gene to be able to do that. Certainly there are things that you'd like to have seen more of. But when you look at Şengün, is that the ceiling? He's still very young.
I don't know. I don't think it's the ceiling, actually. I was going to say, I don't know if it's the ceiling. I don't think it's the ceiling. And I better not be, because one of the things that would make it really problematic if it's the ceiling is his inefficiency around the rim, at least this season, right? He has enough of the footwork. He has enough of an understanding of, you know, his body and how he works to be able to get himself to that place. And I just got to imagine that he finishes at a higher degree. But I do think that I do wonder what is that next level, because the size is solid, but I don't think that he is dominant and imposing per se. And I do see a potential uptick in his passing that moves him closer to kind of that feeling of a baby Jokic. Yeah. And so I do still, this is why I go maybe and not no on the idea of the way that these other teams have found their jump and found their way to build around those guys and found themselves in the conference finals. I do see a jump that's still in there for him. Him being at the center of it, especially being a center, how good do you have to be as a center to have that kind of game but still be a high level? Because we're looking at like a Joel Embiid, who is a very incredible center that has not made it past the second round of the playoffs. Now, of course, injuries factor in there, but also even when he is healthy, he has those issues. But then Jokic, who is literally the best player in the world,
didn't get there.
Is that what just this year? Is that what it requires to have a center at that level in this modern NBA to do that? Like, that's the question I have with Şengün, because I can see the jump, but can he get to it? Does it have to be that level of center play?
Well, that's kind of my point. I mean, it does have to be that level. And so the other question that I think has to be asked is are you willing to take that risk? Like, hey, I believe Amen can do this. Hey, I believe Şengün can take the next step. Hey, I believe what we saw in Jalen Green is going to be exactly opposite of what he ends up becoming. I don't know if you can take that risk, take that chance.
Yeah. I don't know. That's the thing that I've been kind of pondering on, watching all of these kind of young, talented players, these young stars that the NBA is kind of handing this thing over to. Anthony Edwards, who even him, he is one of those guys that, because of his style of play and the reminiscence to MJ in some degrees, we're giving him a lot of love. He's still got some development for him as well, like as a playmaker, but he is incredible. Man, he had this one looked like he was trapped in the corner. Gets out, like drives baseline. Yeah. Euro steps the Caruso trying to draw a charge. Mm-hmm. Finishes with the offhand. Just incredible stuff there. Tyrese Halliburton, Jalen Brunson, and you see those guys jumping, and I'm just like, do you have that guy? Even if you know that those guys can still make that kind of leap.
You said maybe. NBA. I'm going to say no, Figgy.
I'm gonna say no. I feel like, and when we talk about the other teams, I feel like they had a lot of young players around them that was kind of picking up the slack a little bit too. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like I felt like with OKC, we wasn't forcing SGA to be the guy. It was just he kind of grew into the guy, right? Mm-hmm. Like he kind of grew into an MVP thing. I feel like right now we are trying to force a person to be the guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the – I don't know if he is the guy or not, or he needs some time.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said Shangun needs to broaden his game, going through him playing 90-style ball, playing for twos. Again, the Jokic thing is the thing that you look at as the platonic ideal of what mm-hmm. he ultimately can be. And I'll come back to this. It's just, does it have to be at that level in order for it to work, or can you be 80% Jokic and does it work, right? Can you be 90% Jokic for it to work? What is the level there? And then that's when you cross-reference it, is how far can Shangun
get there? You got to have a good supporting cast for that to work too.
Right, yeah. And that's a good one. Is like, also, how do you fit things around him? Is mm-hmm. he, because he's not, he's also a little bit, he's close to, but a little bit different than Jokic in that Jokic is absolutely a center. Shangun, you kind of ask, is he a four? And then if he's
somebody
a four.
Somebody asked that on the text board. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. And I do want to give them their credit. That was the 2-8-1. Mm-hmm. Then how do you fit around that? Because if he's a four, that means you have to have a five. And in this modern NBA, teams will be able to space. Is Shangun now guarding on the perimeter? Is that is it a five that is versatile enough to maybe try and play on the perimeter? Like, what happens there? Yeah. So that's another question that the Rockets are going to have to ask. And maybe it's just as simple as, we don't want to make that decision yet, but I think these are the questions that are there for them,
especially if you look around and see everybody else moving forward.
Exactly. That's also another part of this, right? You have all these other teams that are also going to seemingly be there in mm-hmm. contention. Are you able to contend at that level?
That's the scary part right there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one thing saying, hey, let's give it time and all that stuff, but if you look around, look who's in the conference finals. Mm-hmm. Like, people are moving past you at this
point.
And
look who's coming up.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping on a Friday. All right, let's get into what's popping here on a Friday in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Looking forward to seeing the Astros back in action tonight versus the Seattle Mariners after an incredible 9-2 victory. Jose Altuve going yard a couple of times. Lance McCullers throwing up eight of them strikeouts. And I think MLB.com referenced it as a throwback Thursday, which, give me that. I love that. Give me a flashback Friday, too. Why not? On the mound for you today, Ryan Gusto takes the mound, opposing, who is it again? Because I already forgot.
Emerson Hancock.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. And you know why I made you say that, right?
Emerson Hancock.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I just wanted you to get that. 1-2, 6-2-1 ERA. So hopefully that also gives the Astros an opportunity to make a little something shake. But the real interesting thing on the weekend is you have Framber Valdez on mm-hmm. Saturday facing off against Brian Wu. Brian Wu, a good pitcher. However,
Isak Paredes, give that man a raise.
Okay. All right. obviously, I love watching Isak play, but you seem to be having him as a mercenary, because Brian Wu yesterday, sitting in the third base dugout, appeared to have gotten hit by a foul ball.
He was limping badly. Look at that.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, ultimately, and this is per Daniel Kramer, who covers the Mariners for MLB.com, apparently the injury doesn't scare them or doesn't appear as severe as they initially thought. However, I mean,
you saw what I saw.
Especially pro athletes at a certain level are almost like luxury cars, like sports cars, what have you, in that, yes, they are high maintenance and they go real fast and they perform at a higher level. But the smallest things take them out of commission or make them knock them off their kilter. And so could that be something that gives you an advantage in a pretty good pitcher's matchup?
A great one.
Between Framber and Wu
on Saturday. Yeah, that's his push-off leg. He got hit in the right on the right leg off of that foul ball from Isak.
I think it was a shin.
Was it the shin?
Something to that. Yeah.
That's his push-off leg. He's 5-1 with a 2.65 ERA. and you'll appreciate this, 0.87 whip.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Good for him. Not putting base runners
yeah,
on.
Yeah, he's good. Against Fromber on Saturday afternoon. I'll tell you what, that's...
Oh, y'all going to see Lopez and family at the ballpark?
Well, that's my wife's favorite player, Fromber, and I can't tell you why. You know,
she liked that long hair, huh?
I've tried to talk.
She liked that long hair, huh?
Yeah. She said,
"Why are you trying to talk her out of it?"
Yeah. You know, because he's so inconsistent sometimes.
Although you're trying to save her from herself.
She said he has like a kid's face. A kid's face. He does kind of have a childlike,
huh?
You know, and she's a school teacher, so there you go.
Okay. I see you, Jan.
Yeah. After that walk tomorrow, I might have to. That'd be a nice place to sit and rest.
Now, is this the same type of walk that you take after Thanksgiving?
No, this is carry the load. 5.7 miles for in honor of those who have fallen.
Love
first,
to see it.
First responders.
You do love to see it.
Yeah, yeah. If you're in the neighborhood, Fire Station 8, 7:30 a.m.
Okay,
going to make that walk.
You said Fire Station 8, 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
on Saturday.
Carry the load.
You got to sign up for it.
You can sign up online. Just list search Carry the Load Houston.
You gonna do it?
I was like, you know what the tough part about that, well, of everything he said, I want you to guess what the part is.
7:30 a.m.
There you go. That's the one. I might be up at 7:30 a.m. being somewhere at 7:30 a.m.
I can walk 10 miles, but that's 7:30.
At 11. Nah. Anyway, at 11 I can do
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying. Although it might be hot.
Yeah.
It might be hot.
3:10 game. You're tired from the walk. Have a couple cold beers and a hot dog.
And the AC.
Mm-hmm. That's in the mix.
Speaking of the Astros, they did sign Greg Jones to a minor league deal. Mm-hmm. Greg Jones, a little infielder, outfielder, is what I see from MLB trade rumors. But former first round pick by the Blue Jays, if memory serves, back in 2019. He's just a guy who, I guess, when he was AAA, the bat was okay. He's just only had, I think, like 8 at bats last year, and wasn't really all that good. Or actually, 8 major league at bats in total. And a 1.43 ERA, of course, is a super small sample size. I don't know what you could do with that. But it seems like just, you know, put him he's in Florida right now. He will relatively quickly make his way to Sugar Land. Just another guy, it seems like, that you have there. But, yeah, that's...
Every little bit helps.
Adding another guy. But, yeah. Oh, and also, I guess the bigger news that I should have mentioned, I believe it is Colton Gordon that will make his way back as Ronel Blanco. Going to the IL. I don't think that I saw anything.
We haven't even really mentioned that. We speculated yesterday, but IL getting a second opinion, right?
He is getting a second opinion, so we don't know for certain if it is like something with the UCL that will ultimately necessitate Tommy John.
Well, I don't
However, going on the IL stint probably doesn't.
Do you see him coming back at all this year to try to give it another go?
Which you're asking, is it a Tommy John?
Because
if it's a Tommy John, the answer is no. And if it's not, then you're like.
No, we've seen some instances where somebody tried to give it a go again.
Yes.
And then it don't work out, and then they get shut down.
I
try to use rest.
I won't go that far just yet, but it's not trending great. I mean, how many times have you ever gotten a first opinion and the doctor said, I think you're good, and then you got a second opinion? No, the first opinion was not good.
the second opinion could be just rest a little bit and then give it a rest for like 4 weeks or something and then try to do it again, and then that don't work out.
Yeah. And by the way, Sunday is another good pitching matchup, Luis Castillo against who's it going to be?
I'm not certain.
Right now it's TBD.
I'm guessing Colton Gordon, but I don't want to say that with any level of certainty because I don't know. Yeah. So I just making that abundantly clear. I don't know, but he is making his way back up. They seem to like these young cats that they have at the AAA level. And they have delivered to some degree, like in what can be expected of them. We talk about Colton Gordon, and then you talk about, goodness gracious, the gentleman that just started for the Astros earlier this week, whose name I've already forgotten because my brain does not work the way that I want it to at times. But they've delivered in ways that I think is fair and understandable when you need them. I mean, AJ Blueball, is he the worst one that's come up? And even then, it's not like he.
Well, he did eventually.
But I mean, it's not like he looked terrible or what have you. But yes, so excited to see what that looks like this weekend. Also, it could be a really. I mean, this is a big, big series against the Mariners.
Absolutely,
I mean, you win 3 out of the 4, and what? You are one game back at that moment?
Then they enter, either one game or 1.5 in that neighborhood, which is obviously very plausible.
Yeah, so that's, you keep pushing towards that Astros and finish off what has been kind of a wild, it would be No, it'd be 1.5. That's right. What would be a crazy 17-game and 17-day stretch. Some other things that are popping. We've kind of talked a little bit about this, you know, us being college football heads, that the White House had put together, like, or was trying to put together a presidential college sports commission with Nick Saban at the helm and a huge Texas Tech booster possibly being involved there as well with Senator Tommy Tuberville. Is he still a senator or was he once a senator?
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he left the job. He seemed to do that a lot in college football. I would probably say the same about his political career, but, you know, neither here nor there. But it seems like they have pressed pause on that, which, according to Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports, he's citing unnamed congressional sources, that they're pressing pause on it. The move is possibly rooted in a potential impact of the commission on Senate negotiations with the legislation that's currently being looked at to address college sports, which makes sense. This was the big question I had when I was like, the timing of this is kind of wild because the NCAA settlement is still kind of going on. You have negotiations there, and it'd be weird to kind of bring this whole commission to look into this space that is ultimately finding tweaks at this moment. So that is being pressed pause on. That might not go there. Or maybe it's pause. Maybe it's they're actually getting rid of this because you have this answer, but that is not going to be a continued thing that's happening there. Somebody said still a senator, sadly. not editorial. I didn't put that sadly. That was from the 713. You can deal with that. And we were talking about the Gold Cup, right? The Gold Cup final will be held at NRG Stadium here. What is that, July 6th?
Well, that's the final, but there's going to be a couple of other games.
There'll be some other matches that happen in Shell Energy Stadium as well. And so U.S. men's national team, especially as they have been a little lackluster.
Their best player.
They've been a little lackluster, and so they've been trying to find their groove, and this Gold Cup will be really huge to, you know, do something as well. But they will be without AC Milan's Christian Pulisic. A lot of people refer to him as Captain America. He has been one of, if not their best players, over the last good stretch of international soccer play, and he will not take part in the Gold Cup this time. The reason for his unavailability is that he needs a recovery period. You know, playing with his club in Europe, apparently he had a grueling schedule. So if the U.S. is going to do it, it will be without Christian Pulisic up top, which it sucks, I got to say, right? Like, as you mentioned, very, very good. He's had an incredible season this year as well, AC Milan. Like, he has scored with the level of purpose that you want to see from Pulisic being one of those guys. But you've got some other guys in tow that should, like, this is one of the most talented generations of this U.S. squad. Maybe they don't have the same grit, and especially it doesn't feel like they have right now the same cohesion that other U.S. men's national teams.
I'm glad you
mentioned
that.
But they have enough talent that they should not drop off from that level. It's about what are they able to play a system that is cohesive and with purpose that shows up there.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Remember, not long ago we had Brian Ching in, along with the Gold Cup itself, and we were talking about this squad. And I wouldn't. How would you characterize it? I wouldn't say he gave the USA coach Pochettino a ringing endorsement.
Well, I mean, you can't. Like, just the results aren't there, so I don't know how you would give him a ringing endorsement. But, yeah, man, there's a little bit of a heat on the seat for Pochettino, especially going into this next World Cup cycle, or actually being in the World Cup cycle, headed towards the World Cup. And the Gold Cup is going to be – it's going to matter a good amount. I could easily see them not performing well and Pochettino saying, you know, being let go.
That's where I'm going with it.
And he's not going to have Christian Pulisic in order to do that.
That's where I'm going with it. I think, obviously, you know, there's no question – that he's played a lot of games at a very high level. I think more on-field time than he's ever had in his career. So he clearly could use a rest. I don't recall a top-tier American player ever begging out of the Gold Cup, ever. Yeah. So maybe he's just not bought in, too. Maybe that's part of the factor.
That's an interesting thought I hadn't considered. I do wonder just – does that also, are you willing to extrapolate that into like the general culture of the squad now where those guys used to, and to be fair, those guys weren't playing at the level where they had an opportunity to get run ragged and on their club's sides. But are we in a place where maybe there isn't that same willingness to die for the shirt, as they would say in soccer, that it feels like they have?
I would say that. It's speculation. It's my opinion. But you get a chance to play on your national team, Gold Cup, and then World Cup. You do it.
Yeah, so even if U.S. does what they're supposed to do and end up in that final, you will not see Christian Pulisic at NRG Stadium. Just a little heads up if you're getting ahead on your tickets, which probably I shouldn't say, because you do want to go to the Gold Cup at NRG Stadium July 6th. I do want you to do that. All right, coming up next, let's get back to the Houston Texans, because we are a week away from OTAs happening for there at NRG Stadium as well. So who needs to come back a little different as a dude, whether it's physically or just their performance on the field? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss it next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.